South Note. Today's class, we will talk about a great book called Think Good and It Will Be Good. This book is by Reb Daniel Schonbach. He is a therapist in New York, and he wrote a really good book on the Tzemach Tzedek, on basically the Chabad, a lot of Chabad teachings on Think Good, positive thinking. Before that, today's also the Yahrzeit, the passing of Rav Zusha. It's very, very beneficial. Rav Zusha of Annapolis. It's very beneficial to talk about Tzaddikim on the Yahrzeit. It has a great power to rectify and sweeten judgments. So Rav Zusha was the brother of Rav Elimelech Lenitz. I don't know how, Lenitz? Lezenz. Okay, I don't have the Yiddish. And basically, there's one great story about him that I've always remembered this story. Him and Rabbi Elimelech, basically they created a self-imposed exile. And this self-imposed exile, basically they became wanderers throughout in different parts of Europe in order to rectify, to bring the Mashiach, or in order to rectify for, I have no idea why they went on the exile itself. Basically, they were pretty much at an inn or a gas station or some, not a gas station, obviously there's probably not, who knows what was it back then. But basically, they were completely, it was days and days of wandering. They were physically exhausted. And there happened to be a Polish worker that had a carton, and all of his things fell on the ground. And basically, they were just on the floor, completely exhausted, and the Polish guy told them, "Can you please help me?" And they says, We can't. We don't have strength." And the Polish guy told them, "You can, you just don't want to." And they said from that story, how many times do we say we can? It's not we can't, we just don't want to. They learned so much. They got one of the biggest lessons in their life from that story in that gas station, how many times we can, we just don't want to. And it gave them a tremendous yearning of tshuva, that how many times, okay, do this. No, I can't. We can, we just don't want to. And I think that lesson itself is, we don't need to go into bubble mice and stories, but you get the hint. There's many areas of our lives, I can't eat better. You just don't want to. And just remember that. You can improve your marriage. I can't do it. Yes, you can. You just don't want to. It's been a very familiar thing as children that we just say, I can't do it. Yes, you can. I can't do my homework right now. Yes, you can. You just don't want to. And at least that brings us to some kind of consciousness of recognizing that we can. When I talk about great concept here, the science of positive thinking, and he says it in this book. I've seen this a lot. I've seen a lot of people struggle with the past, and our job sometimes is not, like you said before, it's not to beat the past. It's to create a new road. Many times we're trying to fight the past too much. Who says you have to fight the past? Who says you have to beat the past? The best success is massive revenge. The way you do that is by creating a new road. Let's say every single time you go in a specific road, the road is a dead end. And you get frustrated and you get bothered by going to the dead end. Who says you have to go fix the dead end? You have to just create a new road. Our job in our life is to create a new road, is to create a new path, is to create, okay, I have negativity. So I'm going to outdo it by having positivity. You can't. You know, what happens if you go into a dark room? You got to turn on the lights. We're too focused, and I've seen this where people struggle. It's too much focusing on beating the past and dealing with the past. Our sages tell us, what's the difference? The past is over. Create a new road. So we're going to talk about here, having a ratio. One of the things, there was a specific call that I had the other day, that the person was trying to let go of negative thoughts. I said, are you bothered by these negative thoughts? Yes. You'll never be able to let them go. Because the minute you're bothered by something, you cannot let it go. You have to just notice it, be aware, and recognize it's not you. But the minute I'm bothered by something, I cannot let it go. That's why it's so hard to people really let it go, because they're trying to let it go and they're frustrated because they have these thoughts. You'll never be able to lose weight if you're frustrated that you're overweight. You're not going to have the energy. You're going to have shame, guilt, etc. But if you just recognize, I have a body, I'm not the body, how do we get pounds off this body? Through simcha. So remember, don't be bothered by the negative thoughts. Sometimes, most of the times they're not even yours. And sometimes they're sent to you in heaven just to, so you're tested. But when you're bothered by the negative thought itself, that itself is a problem. That is the one thing you should worry about. Like we said before, the biggest fear you should have is having fear. So extremely important that. So what he's saying here, and he brings an example from this, Barbara Fredrickson, and there's a lot of people, again, in this positive psychology. It's the research on positive psychology today is tremendous. Gratitude journals showing 25% happiness, healing. Bottom line is they're showing many studies on the brain's changing when there's positive experiences. So Chabad always thought about thinking good and it will be good. Why, if I think good, it will be good? Where's the science behind thinking good and be good? Number one, it's because different parts of your brain open up when you're thinking good, right? Your prefrontal cortex versus your basal ganglia. And also, spiritually, when you're thinking positively, you invoke the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei. When you're thinking negatively, you invoke the name of Elohim. The purpose of having constraint and gevura is not to think negative. The purpose, what God gave us, bina, we know man is chachma and bina, right? Chachma represents our right side of our brain, creativity, etc. Bina represents more of the, okay, put it down to action. But sometimes we live in a world of too much bina. Too much exactness. Too much. Another Kabbalistic concept behind this is there's yesh and there's ayin. Yesh is reality. Our sages tell us we have to have yesh, we have to have reality, but we also have to know how to go into ayin. Ayin means surrender. So the combination between yesh and ayin, that means I can't stay in surrender all my life, but if I stay in reality all my life, I pretty much get stuck in the problem or in a situation. So the same concept, when you think good, it will be good. What happens is when you think good, it will be good. First of all, different parts of your brains. And also you invoke different names in heaven to give you mercy. The name of Yud Kei Vav Kei gives you mercy. The name of Elohim is just nature. You lose the divine supervision. So when we invoke a positivity in heaven, they mirror us. It's a mirror image. This is why David HaMelech says, God is your shadow. Praise Him all the time. Because your shadow is basically just reflecting. The upper worlds are reflecting exactly what's happening in the lower worlds. Exactly what's happening on the lower worlds. It's exactly, our sages tell us that if you have a lot of friends below, that means you have a lot of friends above. And if you have a lot of enemies below, you also have a lot of enemies above. So there's a spiritual mirror happening in heaven. And if we had the awareness, we would recognize, hey, what are we attracting? What are we focusing on, etc. So I like her strategy here. And she says, listen, you're not going to get rid of the negative thoughts completely. It's not possible. But can you have a 3-to-1 ratio? Can you have a 3-to-1 ratio? Imagine if you're positive, if you had 75% of your thoughts be positive and 25% of your thoughts be negative. How would your day be? Huh? It'd be great. Imagine if I said to myself, okay, I'm going to have negative thoughts. I just had a negative thought. Now I'm going to now put 3 positive thoughts to conquer that negative thought. Basically, I'm creating a new road. I'm creating a new road, but I'm aware of the negative thoughts. I name it to tame it. But now it's not, I'm not trying to, first of all, I'm not going to be upset by it. I'm going to notice it. And just like anything else in life, if you dilute it with positivity, eventually it doesn't bother you. you could try the Victor, you could try the, you know, just letting it go. But I think this is even better because it makes you now focus on working. And we, you know, we do this in our facility. Maria, if you guys heard the interview, where she talks about, she tells the clients at the end of the day, name me 15 places where you saw God today in this facility. That person's coming out of the room with different lenses. Bottom line, we're not talking about the past. We're talking about how to dilute. Even there's a concept also behind this. Where's this concept also? If a person has a kosher and a non-kosher mixture, as long as it's 1/60th, the non-kosher becomes kosher. You're allowed to eat from that substance. So that you can, the purpose here is to dilute the negativity. Okay? You're dealing, another good example of this would be, you're dealing with a problematic person. You could be bothered by them. They'll be controlling you. Or you can kill them with kindness. That is the same form. Killing them with kindness. When you kill them with kindness, not only you're not controlled anymore by them, but now you view that person completely different. It's not even about you. So this concept about killing them with kindness is an example of having, for every negative thought you're going through, inject 3 positive things. This is from Barbara Fredrickson. And she's saying, if your ratio is 3 to 1, 3 negative thoughts to 1 positive, then of course you're going to have anxiety and depression. I mean, it's just the mathematical. If you're thinking positively 75% of the time, you will be happy and you'll have more energy. But if you're thinking negative 25% of the time, if you're thinking positively only 25% of the time, then of course, after every event comes an emotion. And that emotion will continue to be there unless it's diluted or etc. We hear that this is very similar to Rav Nachman's concept of a zamra. You know, wake up when you're waking up in the morning, all you're doing, you just said 12 brachas or 15 brachas when you say break up. All you're doing is extracting the good from the bad. You're adding good to the bad. You're taking the good from the bad. Even to the point where the law is that you're supposed to, when you put on your shirt, the right should go over the left. Kindness should go over the left. The concept of always thinking, you know, is it going to make a difference? Maybe it can make a difference if I'm always thinking that kindness comes before judgment. It does something on my psyche and it creates a new pattern of thinking. So what she's saying here, obviously the research, the increased lifespan, low rates of depression, great resilience, tons of spiritual and brain chemistry that changes through positive thinking. But let's talk about 7 ways that he recommends on how to pretty much create a new pattern, because this is what it's all about. It's all about creating a new pattern. When you're thinking positively, another thing that you get is serotonin. If you look, what are antidepressants? Serotonin uptakes. So if you really, really think about it, serotonin uptakes. So on top of what we said yesterday, you know, putting music on, working out, that's other forms of painkillers. But this is a form of really, really reprogramming, noticing the negative thought, not being bothered, and then adding 3 positive thoughts to it. Because what happens is our brain doesn't remember the compliments you had. I can give you a compliment today. I can give you 5 compliments right now. And if I give you one negative comment, you will not remember the compliments. You will remember only the negativity. Because that's stored, and not only that, but it stores emotionally. And then you start repeating that over and over again. But how come you don't remember the compliments? How come you don't remember the compliments? You could be on the best trip, and next thing you know, some lady sits next to you and spills coffee. Oh, you're thinking about the coffee that spilled. Just recognize how our brain works. Your brain is not there to make you happy. So you really have to play the same game that he plays. Add positivity and dilute negativity. And don't be bothered by the negativity. You've lived a life, and the example was that this particular person was 20-something years old. Their parents are fighting all the time. So she said, I'm not going to get married. What's the point? This is what I'm watching. Why would I want to go through this? So all that person is just, you know, recording a what's happening in their house. But that's not reality. But it becomes reality if that's the way you think every marriage is going to be, etc. So she now has to create positive affirmations, etc. So what are the seven things that we could do? First, increase the use of positive words. First thing you should do is you should feel abundant. You should say, I feel abundant. You should have appreciation. You should say everything's beautiful. You know, the Rav Nachman says that if they ask you, how's your day? Good. If this is good, I'll show you what real good. But if your day's bad, again, then you want to know what bad is? I'll show you what bad is. The first thing, you should use more positive words. I feel safe. Everything's going to be okay. Use positive words for every negative words. Use a positive word. Positive words do tremendous. It changes your psyche. Use more positive words. Compliment today. Compliment people. Smile. Just do as much as positivity. It makes a tremendous difference. I feel connected. Everybody loves me, etc. That's just using more positive words. When you do more positive words, negative words do the opposite. Anytime you have a negative words, what they do is it links other things to your brain. So that's the first thing. Using increase of positive words. The second one is view life from a broader perspective. Okay? If your situation, this I always do this. Anytime I'm faced with any kind of problem, I say to myself, okay, we need to change two things. Procedure or perspective. What's my procedure? Is my procedure off or is my perspective off? Which one? Procedure or perspective? It's never the problem. It's my perspective. So that's another thing, is change the perspective. When you change the meaning, you change the feeling. That's another thing that you can say right away. Perspective check. And usually, how do you know? When you're thinking about yourself all day long, it's teaching you that your ego is running the show. You're self-centered. So how do we get to? We got to get to goal center. So the second thing is view life on a broader perspective. Such as you have a problem that comes to you and you're obsessed with the problem. A problem at work. View your health. Are you healthy? Yes. Are you this? Yes. Check your perspective. The whole point here is not to give energy to the negativity. The third thing is practice positive affirmations, right? I specifically, in my Siddur, I have a highlighter, and I have about 15 to 20 places in my Siddur where I'll repeat those words. God is my helper. God is my helper. Hashem Ozer Li. I go to bed crying. I wake up dancing. I repeat certain things over and over, because really, if we really believed in the whole Siddur is affirmations, by the way. You should recognize that. God strengthens the humble. You know, there's so many affirmations in the book, in the Siddur itself. Take a highlighter, or take, if you read Tehillim, take the highlighter, something that hits you, highlight it, and then repeat it, and it has done tremendous work on me. Because now I'm hearing that same song in the day. I repeat the same song in the day. So it's extremely important that if you daven, there's 100 affirmations in there. The whole davening is an affirmation. So you should come out of prayer like completely pumped up. Unless you do not believe in the words and your heart is completely gone. Why do teams huddle up? They huddle up. They affirmate, hey, let's go. And they come back pumped. So you should take a highlighter, and it's helped me tremendously. Where is the words that are connecting to you? You know, for example, in the beginning of the prayer, it says how we have to you have to love the whole synagogue. Love everybody in the synagogue. When you show love to everybody in the synagogue, it has a better chance of your prayers getting answered. That's the purpose of a chazan. to bring everybody united and to find their good points. So right away, you see that word, send love to everybody, that everybody's prayers should get answered, everybody's illnesses should go away. That does tremendous positivity. It just, you're in a very positive mindset. So there's, whatever you see, do what you have, whatever you highlight it, and repeat the word, things that you, that connect to you. Repeat it. That's an affirmation. You don't have to create your own, but there's certain ones that are amazing there for you. God loves me. God loves me. I'm a portion of the divine. I was made with greatness because I come from greatness. I have greatness in me because I come from greatness. All of these things do tremendous effects. So when you get that chatter, at least you can now substitute it. Number four, read books about positivity. You cannot get new thinking without new information. You know, people tell you, I have to think about it, right? How many times you hear this? I have to think about it. Where are you getting your information from? I have to think about going to treatment. You're a heroin addict. What do you have to think about? Where are you getting information from? Where possibly can give you an insight? One thing is, I have to pray on it. Okay. To think about it. With what information? Anytime you say I have to think about something, that means you should be reading something to give you new information so you have a new perspective. But otherwise, what is there to think about? I have to pray on it is the better words. I have to pray on it. Prayer changes consciousness. Reading changes consciousness. But if you're just thinking about it with the same mud that you got in your head, all you're doing is recycling garbage. Very important. So I have to pray on it. Fine. So read books on positivity. Again, great books that I recommend. The Base Levy on Bitachon. This book has all kinds of affirmations in it. And has, you know, it's a book that has maybe 25 to 30 segulot, prayer. It's a phenomenal book. It's called The Base Levy on Bitachon. It's Essays on Trust. It has Engel Bivado. It's just packed with positive consciousness. Because remember, I just want to show it to you on a scale of consciousness. When you have fear, your level of energy is 150, according to David Hawkins. When you have trust, your level of energy is 350. Imagine right now if I told you, I'm going to give you almost triple the energy. What would you pay for that? What would you pay for that? There's no price. Learning Torah increases your consciousness. Learning it, talking about it is right now affecting your consciousness. All of this, when you feel better after a class, it's because you connected to a higher consciousness. It's nothing to do with me. I'm just trying to vibrate on that consciousness. Period. If you feel better, there's a reason why, because you came in there with a lower consciousness, and now you listen to a class, now you feel better. It's because you connected to a higher, it's pretty simple. You just have to connect. When you're in a low state, you connect to higher consciousness. Torah has a very high consciousness. News, Instagram has a very low consciousness. I don't remember the last time I felt pumped after scrolling on Instagram for 5 minutes. I don't remember the last time I felt invigorated or... I don't remember the last time I felt invigorated watching the news. I don't remember. Think about what invigorates you. I remember feeling invigorated helping people. I remember feeling invigorated after prayer. I remember after giving a class. That invigorates me. But I don't remember complaining, feeling invigorated. I don't remember. Or blaming somebody. Or focusing on myself. I don't remember the last time. If you can find a way to get a higher consciousness on Instagram, show me. We can sell it. We could probably get a membership out of it. But chances are it's not happening. Because when you compare, you're looking at it, there's no point. Remember, the happier you are, the less you need. The happier you are, the less validation you need. You really don't need validation. Happiness is showing you that you don't need validation. The happier you are, the less validation you need. But the more unhappy you are, the more validation you need. It's not coming from a good place. So already, it's not the consciousness there. It's not a high consciousness. So automatically, you're just picking up on a lower vibrations. You know how many times we walk into a room, we deal with difficult people, very negative people. We come out of there affected. There's no question. You come out of there happy, you come out of there drained. So energy is thoughts. Energy is thoughts. So read books on positivity. Garden of Emunah, Garden of Gratitude, Beis Lev Yom Bitachon. You'll read my book of 365 quotes. That's going to come out. And you'll hear positive quotes. That could be your affirmation. It's extremely important that we the mind has to go somewhere. Put a time to this. Number five. The Ramak, or Moshe Cordovero, he had a meditation on colors. He says every single color can boost happiness, right? We love colors. There's something about colors that affect. And he says there's 10 colors that you can connect to that color and you can connect to the energy behind it. For example, Keter is invincible. Wisdom is all colors. Knowledge is yellow. So every time you look at yellow, you can focus on knowledge, Chachma. Yellow represents Chachma. The sun. Sit in the sun. Get some vitamin D and just connect to Chachma. Connect to wisdom. Kindness. Wear white. That represents kindness. When you're wearing white, focus on the kindness. Judgment is red. Right? So we don't wear too much red, right? Red cars somehow get into accidents. The red Ferrari gets into an accident. The red flashiness. There's always something red that there's a sense of judgment to red. Right? There's always something. The red car hit me, right? Or the girl who's wearing the too much red lipstick. The red, it's not a color of chesed. It's a color of justice. Beauty is violet, right? Beauty is violet. When you look at beauty, violet, it represents beauty. Teferet. Teferet represents truth. So connect to something. Connect to something beautiful. But buy a bracelet. And just connect to that energy. Victory represents light pink. Netzach represents light pink. You see light pink? That's Netzach. That's endurance. All the guys are going to start wearing light pink shirts. I used to wear a lot more light pink. I don't know why I stopped wearing it. Real men wear pink, right? Did they hear that? Real men wear pink. It's real men. It's victory. Glory, which is humility, is dark pink. Orange represents the Shmirat HaBrit, Yesod, foundation. And kingship, which is your royalty, is blue or purple. That's your kingship. So you can connect, even wearing a shirt. Sit down and bring that energy into you. Or look at the other person's shirt and connect to their energy. Connect to their people. You know, the whole point is to meditate on, you know, you could be in a bus and you could meditate on a yellow car and say, wow, you know, look at the chachma in that car. It's got a beautiful flat tire. We all have a flat tire. Just connect yourself to just get out of your head and connect to something. Number six, he says, offer gratitude. Just giving gratitude. Remember, we spoke about gratitude. Gratitude means you believe in faith. Right? Your emunah and your gratitude, your faith and your gratitude is directly correlated. Rabbi Rush says, how do you know if a person has emunah? He has simcha. can you have joy without gratitude? No. So when you have faith, you actually become what? A giver. You're giving your creator, purpose of his existence. You're here to reveal the purpose of his existence, which is to reveal his kindness. So the fact that you see kindness from your creator, you now become a giver. It's an amazing concept, by the way. It's an amazing concept that we can actually become give. When you have emunah, you're actually a giver. You're actually giving. When you're praying for somebody else, you're giving. Same thing, when you have faith, you are giving now. You're giving your creator pleasure. Just like if you listen to your father and you're happy with what you have, you're giving your father pleasure. How many people say, I have so much pleasure for my son? He gives me so much pleasure. He behaves, right? He's happy. How many times do you hear that? What is the blessing of a father? Same thing. We are the children. So when we behave and we're grateful, and we have a perspective and we build our own temples, our creator gets a tremendous amount of pleasure. And that pleasure usually hits you right back with mercy and love and loving kindness. And the seventh thing he recommends is the Tomer Devora. Tomer Devora is another book on how to think positively and how to mimic your creator when you're insulted. That every single time that you're insulted, it's an opportunity for you to get cleansed. Every time you sin, you have residual damage. Let's say you sinned with something, right? And I want to bless you. Hashem wants to, let's say your blessing's coming on Wednesday to you. But on Tuesday, you made a very big boo-boo. And I really want to give you the blessing for Wednesday. But if I give you the blessing for Wednesday, you're going to have a dirty cup. So I have to have something happen to you to cleanse you out, so now the blessing could stay with you. Our Creator has to cleanse us to bless us. So it's really, it has to happen. So he sends you people to anger you, because you sort of burden heaven. When we sin, we put a burden on heaven. So now people burden you. And when you let go, they let go above. So really, if we really thought about it, when we get insulted, we should be dancing in the sky because it's the greatest opportunity to be forgiven. Obviously, hard, extremely difficult, but that's exactly what's happening. You would right away forgive the person because you're really forgiving you. It's really helping you. So the book Tomer Devora is all about that concept of every single opportunity is an opportunity for you to be forgiven. Which constitute in what? Blessings, materially, spiritually, etc. What stops blessings from coming to you? Practically. Sin. What is a sin? You miss the mark. A sin, chet, means you miss the mark. So really, all these problems and all these situations in a higher angle, it's really cleansing opportunities for you to receive, etc. It's what it all is. Again, I'm saying this on a Monday, on a Tuesday morning. Today's Tuesday? Yes. With clarity, and I see everything clear, but then the afternoon will dictate something else. And I have to now practice all of this. But the first step, I really love the concept of the first one, is outdo the negativity by three. Catch the thought. That means when you have a negative thought, something really bothering you, write it down, and now you're going to dilute it by three. You're going to add three positive things that happened to you today. And those three things will dilute the negativity. You have to give the other side a bone. You can't eliminate the other side. You cannot eliminate the ego. So you give them a little bit. This is why when we eat, we always leave stuff on the table. We give the other side something to leave us alone. Give them something. Okay, you're right. I have this negative, but I'm going to give you three things positive. I'm going to kill you with kindness. What is our other way of thinking? How do we handle things the other way? We look at the negative thing. We're bothered by it, which is the real problem. Second, Now you're pointing out who's the cause of this. Now you rationalize it. And three, now you hold it in more and more. So you're bothered by it, which has caused more resistance. You're rationalizing it by blaming somebody. So now you just created that little situation. Instead of diluting it, you now added three things to a one negative thought. You caused now the negative thought to be multiplied. Just like the frogs. When the frogs were hit, they multiplied. So let's get into the delusion business instead of the resistance business. Hashem help us all that we should all think good and it'll be good. There's a lot of real chachma to this. There's a lot of kindness. There's a lot of, if we really sit down and you just really, really observe your thoughts and you just put them down on paper and you dilute them, you'll see how much it'll be easier. How can I dilute, let's say somebody insulted me. How can I dilute that? Listen. Number one, it's not about me. Number two, it's a good chance for a cleansing. Number three, I pray for the other person's limitation. Because if they're insulting somebody, that means they're hurt themselves. So that's a primary way that you just took 100% of an insult and you made it now 25%. See the difference? Now you're not controlled by that anymore. Very little controlled versus now, if you did the opposite, you would now add to the fuel. What would you do? I got insulted. Who did it? That one, he did it. Now you're going to tell somebody else what happened to you. And your whole day becomes all day long talking about how you got insulted.
That would sound stupid.
So all you're doing is just, you're playing the telephone game. And all you're doing is resisting and resisting and resisting the situation more and more. How was your day? Terrible. Why? You get insulted. That's all you're going to think about. What happened? Did you do anything good at work? Yes, but I got insulted. I'm just showing you, you have to know what your ego, you have to understand your ego. You have to understand the Yetzer Hara. If you understand him, you could delude him. But if you don't understand him, and remember, he's there and he'll never go away. He will never go away. But you can get stronger. You can come up with different techniques on how to beat him. And this is exactly how we do. The ego loves. It loves the justification. It loves the pointing finger. It loves the blaming. It all the ego is doing is justifying bad behavior. The soul wants none of it. So Hashem help us all that we should all dilute the negativity. Dilute it. Have a great day.